You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I am your host, Tracy Ross. I'm joined in the studio now by Todd Hatton. And on the phone, we have Dr. George Humphreys. He directs the Muhlenberg campus of Madisonville Community College, and he's writing a book about West Kentucky politics. Dr. Humphreys, thanks for being on Sounds Good today.
Well, it's my pleasure to have this opportunity to be on your show.
Dr. Humphreys, this is Todd Hatton. First of all, again, thanks for coming on. My first question is, when people talk about Western Kentucky, it's sometimes difficult to gauge how big of an area they're referring to. For the purposes of your book, The Democratic Rock of Gibraltar, The Rise and Fall of Western Kentucky Democratic Politics Since the New Deal, how do you define Western Kentucky?
Well, you're right. It is very difficult. A number of people have tried to describe what Western Kentucky is, and as I'll outline in my book, in the General Assembly, the legislature defines West Kentucky as anything from west of I-65. I don't think that works very well. I really don't see a lot of community of interest between, say, the Jackson Purchase and Elizabethtown. So I draw my line in a little bit west of that and take a line between, on the eastern border of Hancock County down through Ohio, Butler, Warren, and Simpson counties, and, of course, go west.
So thereabouts from, like, Hawesville on the river down to Bowling Green.
Yes, yeah, and that represents about a little less than 20% of the state.
Hmm. What got you into this project?
Well, I was, for 25 years, I worked for the legislature in Oklahoma. I'm a native native Kentuckian from Fulton, and had done some writing in Oklahoma history, and we had always planned to come back to Kentucky. And so I was looking for a writing project that I could take on when I returned. And it dawned on me there is very little written about Western Kentucky, even though Western Kentucky certainly contributed a lot to the state politics of the 20th century in terms of governors and senators and what went on in Kentucky during the 20th century. Hmm. And it's virtually been overlooked by historians in general.
Why do you think that is?
Well, we're a long ways from the Golden Triangle, and Western Kentucky just doesn't attract the imagination of people like say Appalachia does.
Right. Well, getting to the substance of your book, there are those of us of sufficient vintage who can recall when people would say, "If you want to vote in Kentucky, you register as a Democrat," and that always seemed more true in Western Kentucky. I mean, after all, this is where Alvin Barkley's from, Wendell Ford, Ned Brevet, Ruby LaFoon, Julian Carroll. So I guess that leads me to the question, how did West Kentucky become the Democratic bastion that it was?
Well, I you'd have to go back certainly to the Civil War, and particularly the Jackson Purchase. Todd, you're pretty well-versed, I know, on Western Kentucky history, and the Jackson Purchase was considered the South Carolina of Kentucky. Mm. And coming out of the Civil War, there was just no question that people in that part of the state were going to be Democrats.
Right.
Now you get further east. I'm here in Muhlenberg County, and there are counties across the rivers, say Crittenden County, Butler County, Ohio County, Muhlenberg County, sometimes even Christian County, that would tend to vote Republican, and in the case of Christian, Butler, and Ohio, still do. But the New Deal, I think, changed the politics of the entire region and turned counties like Christian and Muhlenberg Democratic. So from the 1930s well into the 1990s, Kentucky was the Democratic Rock of Gibraltar.
Hmm. A former professor of mine once theorized that it had to do, to some degree, or at least the seeds were sown by the kind of people that settled Western Kentucky, particularly in the
sure.
Jackson Purchase. They were really Jacksonian Democrats.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, of course, the concerns of folks in West Kentucky with, you know, prices they got on their crops and things like that probably attracted them to the Democratic Party. Mm. And certainly the Southern influence, as you're mentioning, that migration on the rivers as the easiest way to get into particularly the Jackson Purchase, you're going to have people who were Jacksonian Democrats.
Well, however much of a Democratic bastion it used to be, it's certainly more competitive now between the parties. So would you say that it's still the Rock of Gibraltar for the Democratic Party? And if it isn't, could it ever get back to that?
That's a good question. You know, one thing I like to, when I talk to people about the subject, I like to recall the 1992 presidential campaign, not very long ago. Mm-hmm. And Bill Clinton was the Democratic nominee. He flies in Wendell Ford. I don't think you mentioned him as one of the West Kentucky governors. But Wendell Ford and Governor Brereton Jones convinced Clinton that it would be a great idea for him to make a last-minute election stop at the Paducah Airport on election eve to solidify the Democratic vote, not only in Kentucky, but Indiana, Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas, and he does so. And, of course, he wins Kentucky. He won again in 1996. I just can hardly imagine any future Democratic nominee doing that in my lifetime. But I may be wrong.
Well, do you think it's because we haven't seen too many Democratic presidential candidates come through the common line?
I think it's, you know, that the social issues have dominated in a way in the last 30 years. I think that through the earlier years of the 20th century, economic issues were dominant, and the Democrats did well. But during the period of the so-called culture wars, you know, one thing about Western Kentucky is it is conservative. Mm. And, you know, this is where the Second Great Awakening started. And on the social issues, the Republicans have done very well in turning votes on, you know, issues like abortion and gay rights and guns and things like that. So,
well, with the region's shift to the GOP, I've been told that it's not necessarily the people of Western Kentucky that have changed; it's the national party ideologies that have shifted. How close is that assertion?
Oh, I think that's fairly accurate. Not so much inside the state. If you talk to Democratic candidates or, you know, office holders in Kentucky, they're conservative. You know, they're supportive of gun rights and things like that. So it's the national party that they're certainly talking about.
Mm. Now, you mentioned the social issues as kind of a catalyst for that shift. Is there anything else that really kind of nudged Western Kentucky into becoming a red region in the bluegrass?
To a certain extent, I've thought, and talking to people that have a long time Western Kentuckians, you know, if you go back to where I picked things up, there was so much to do in terms of development of the area, in terms of roads, schools, jobs, public health, and, you know, all those issues. Bringing in electricity, that was a major thing. All those issues, the New Deal was a key component, and so that attracted people who wanted to see the region develop to the Democratic Party. Hmm. Well, in the second half of the 20th century, many of those issues are no longer issues, and so the economic issues fade to the background, and the social issues emerge as foremost.
Well, do you think that if there is a renewed emphasis on the federal level or even on the state level toward infrastructure development,
sure,
do you think that we could see that shift back? I suppose what I'm driving at is it possible for Western Kentucky to produce another Albin Barkley or Wendell Ford?
It's possible. I know several of the candidates or former politicians I've talked to have said yes, it would be possible. It would be difficult, but it's not not totally out of the possibility.
How are they portraying that possibility?
They'd have to they'd have to reach down to the voters, develop the issues and go into the counties and push the issues to the voters.
Try somehow to overcome the noise machine that can.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there's so many outlets for conservative voices to be heard. It would take a great deal of effort.
Now, I guess we should turn our attention to the book. It's coming out next spring.
Well, I wish that was so. It'll probably be, the spring after.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be. I'm sorry.
Takes a long time after you get the book written to actually see it in print.
And it's going to come out from the University Press of Kentucky, correct?
That's right.
I see. Okay. Well, Dr. George Humphreys is director of Madisonville Community College's Muhlenberg campus. He's also the author of the upcoming book, The Democratic Rock of Gibraltar, The Rise and Fall of Western Kentucky Democratic Politics Since the New Deal. Dr. Humphreys, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Well, it's been my pleasure.